Hello everyone, Richard Lewis here with another video, and this one's going to be an update on the ever-developing situation relating to CS gambling. Sam's floating in the background as always. Lucky to recover from your last night's drinking, really.
Yeah, it was the last night of the game, mate. Had to go all the way in. All the way in.
Not me. I'm just incredibly tired. just exhausted for different reasons, mate. Mentally exhausted, a lot of them. But you're okay now, right? You're not gonna. This isn't the day you die. This isn't the video that you know.
Rich, I gotta stop. I could feel my pancreas churning a good few times, but I think we worked through it.
Pretty sure pancreases don't churn, but
yeah, it does when they're fucked, mate.
I don't know if it's a good sign or a bad sign. Well, anyway, so let's get into it. Obviously, lots happening in gambling at the moment. And today, we saw that CSGO Lounge and Dota Lounge, they both went down, Dota 2 Lounge, I should say, rather, both went down for maintenance for a prolonged period of time. Now, those who've been following this channel will know that Valve issued a cease and desist letter to all of the gambling companies that used bots for commercial purposes, and they were told you've got 10 days from receipt of this letter to basically change the way your business works. Now, CSGO Lounge and Dota 2 Lounge, I mean, obviously, look, I'm not really interested in Dota. I find them all to be crazy people over in that community, so I just stay well away from it. I imagine it served a similar purpose to what CSGO Lounge did for Counter-Strike, and that is that, you know, it did help bolster numbers, helped develop the game, helped people that maybe weren't interested in the competitive side of things, in the competitive community, in tournaments, tune in and create a form of investment for them. Because, you know, if you're a fan of a team, obviously you would just want to watch that team. But what if I'm not a fan of that team, but I know they're good and I want them to win and I bet on them? Well, now I want to follow that team at that tournament. So it did increase the viewing numbers quite substantially so. Now, when it was announced that it looks like these guys are going to be shut down due to this Valve cease and desist letter, that was a grave cause of concern for me, because the viewing numbers have kind of plateaued a little bit anyway in Counter-Strike. If this site was shut down, as a lot of gambling sites are going to be shut down, and rightfully so, our viewing numbers are going to take an even bigger hit. And CSGO Lounge was right at the heart of that, I thought. You know, so I was a bit worried about it. So they go down for maintenance, and then they open up, and there's a statement there now. If you go to their homepage, they've got a notice up. And I will just read that for you here. It says, "Dear community of CSGO Lounge and Dota 2 Lounge, from the very beginning, the lounge service was intended as an entertainment service for the esports community of Dota 2 and CSGO, and we have never considered it as a real money betting. Virtual items in CSGO and Dota 2 have no monetary value." Yeah, this is a little bit intellectually dishonest, isn't it, really? Okay, whatever.
Technically, but...
Yeah, okay, whatever. I mean, I don't believe they believe that.
Nah,
you know? Okay, good. That's all right. And you say what you have to say in situations like this, whatever. "And any community interaction with the virtual items is met only for entertainment without any profit interest. We did not collect any commission or similar until June 2016, where we started doing it in order to improve our items drafting and quality of winnings, compensate item losses due to issues related to our product or issues with Steam community trading, to enable giveaways for the community, and add more features to our service in the near future. After all the recent events around virtual items and the official letter by Valve, which we have received as well, we were left out alone without any additional information or communication by Valve on this matter. We had to make a decision on how to proceed with lounges as a community place and entertainment service. The situation is highly confusing. We are not offering games of luck. We are not offering any transactions with real money or equivalents. Despite those facts, in order to avoid or reduce the confusion, we have decided to acquire a license to legally operate in most of the countries and be able to accept the esports bets by our community as if it would be real money." So what's happened here is the lounges haven't gone down the route that we thought they might. I mean, a lot of people were speculating, well, what's the workaround going to be? Well, this isn't a workaround. They're just literally, we're going to get a license, and we're just going to be legal and we're not going to use, although it doesn't really express that in here, I imagine it's true, they're not going to use Steam's bots anymore. What they will use, I don't know. They'll probably be employing guys like you, Sam, and just manually do stuff. Right? Yep. You're good at pressing buttons, though.
Yeah, I can do that.
So starting from Monday, 1st of August 2016, we will start limiting the access to the betting functionality for users visiting us from countries and regions where online esports betting is forbidden. We will add additional registration and verification process, and we require you to comply with our new terms of service if you want to keep using our service. We also remind that our service is only for users who are at least 18 years old. Now, this is one of the biggest criticisms about Lounge. I remember this at the time. It wasn't very robust in terms of doing its age checker. You know, it literally was just a tick box. And if I'm aware, you correct me if I'm wrong here, Sam. I don't think you needed to have like any form of identification to withdraw or to use the services. Is that correct?
No, don't believe
so. I didn't think so. And I know some sites do that. But they didn't. They then go on. We will be operating according to the new terms, and any transactions related to the items betting functionality will be handled accordingly to the new terms of service, and only on the territories which do not forbid it by law. Users from the following countries and regions will not be able to use the betting feature, but still be able to withdraw their previous winnings and deposits. Belgium, France, French Guinea, Guernsey, Gibraltar, Ireland, Isle of Man, Jersey, Martinique, French Polynesia, Réunion, Mayotte, Turkey, Spain, Scotland, Israel, United Kingdom, and United States. The list of countries may be subject to change. We will keep you informed. We are working on a solution for users from affected regions to stay engaged on Lounge. I don't know what that'll be. I don't know if it's you offer a different service or, you know, something. Ultimately, that if we agree that this is being classified as gambling and is therefore governed by esports gambling laws and jurisdictions in those countries, then I don't really see what the workaround would be, like what the service would be for those people. And of course, that's quite a sizable audience. You know, my understanding is that there's a lot of bettors from United States and probably the UK as well, proportionally speaking. So I think that's a big hit, right? You know, that's having the Yanks out of the equation. Because, you know, they can't actually bet on other stuff legitimately. I bet. So this was probably quite nice for them, a nice change. And then they go, please be alerted that we don't provide any guarantee to what will happen with your items after the 10 days deadline given by Valve. We would like to thank everyone who is part of this awesome community through the last years, and we are looking to continue our journey with you and walk through the changes together. Again, this idea of we're all one big community. I suppose that kind of maybe does apply to Lounge more than any of these other sites that just like sprang up overnight, designed purely to profit from people. But I still think it's patently ridiculous, you know, the idea that, hey, we're all friends. We're all one big happy family. Where there is a power dynamic where we have a system that is designed to, you know, whatever.
To be fair, at least these guys didn't take commission until
recently. Yeah, that is true.
They did
that
get money from tournaments and stuff, I think was the model, right? But
yeah,
didn't directly fuck anyone placing bets.
And also my understanding as well is, you know, there was always going to be, you know, leftover skins, right? Because the way the transactions work, the value could never be precise. So you would have this slew of leftover skins that either small-time bettors would leave behind or they couldn't quite match it up. So there would be a slight overflow. I imagine that got kept or used. You know, whatever. No big deal. Just saying. Anyway, and you know, like I said, I don't lump these guys in with the rest of them. I think, you know, as I said, I'm a big proponent of this. I liked what they did. Every time there was an allegation of match fixing, whatever, they always cooperated. I mean, they maybe could have been more proactive if you want to find criticism, but they were certainly more proactive than anyone else. You know, they're more proactive than organizations and developers themselves. So, and then it goes, the community trading part of our website will continue to operate as usual without any limitations worldwide. And we are planning to improve this service with new features soon. So this is actually interesting. I know there's almost like a solemn tone to this, but I think this is a step in the right direction, dude. Like, I actually think this is better.
Yeah.
I think we're actually better off. This is regulated now. You know, we've got age restrictions in place. So there can be no more arguments about it. People can't beat people over the head about how that site in particular has raised, you know, an army of gambling addicts or whatever bullshit people want to throw at it. And understand, this is a very difficult time for Counter-Strike right now. We're getting it in various orifices, simultaneously from various people that want to put things in our orifices. You know, we're getting fucked over on the gambling front repeatedly because people have just kept doing more and more dishonest things. We're getting fucked over now with a recent situation in Germany and people trying to go down that old route again of linking violent video games to violent crimes. Despite there being no comprehensive scientific study that would lend you to believe that. And, you know, esports in general always has a stigma attached to it, even now as we're becoming more mainstream. So it's a tough time for us. And I think the more sites that actually fucking regulate, I think the better, honestly. And I, to be fair, this probably should have happened before now. Now, I don't know what it's going to do to Lounge overall in terms of traffic, whether it's going to make them still a profitable venture to pursue. But it sounds like they've obviously got more plans ahead, more workarounds. They're obviously going to explore options to expand into the bigger territories. I don't think when they say things like, we're going to look at all of the people affected. I don't know if you know where Reunion is. Like, it's got about 5 people living there, mate. It's fucking tiny, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, they're not going to care as much about that as they are about getting it regulated so it can comply with United States law, which is infinitely more tricky. I don't know if there's workarounds where you can do it state to state or whatever, but certainly it was a big deal. And that's like probably the biggest story of the day. So I don't know what they're going to do with the bot stuff, but there is going to be something there as well. Like I say, I'm pretty confident they're going to have something in place, but they're looking to comply with what Valve said. Now, talking about compliance, Valve issued a second cease and desist letter, which I'm just going to bring up here. Now, first thing I want to say is the cease and desist letter that got released, mate, there was some fucking cunt who thinks he's Perry Mason. Did you see it?
Is that where he was, like, saying why it's definitely fake?
Yeah, it's mate, it was... Come on, mate. This was unreal. Now, I'm not saying it's legit. Again, I've messaged Valve, I've not heard from them on this. Obviously, a lot going on. You know, ESL Pro League starting up soon. We've just finished E-League weekend, of course. So I'll find out one way or the other. But okay, so this guy went through all the reasons why this letter's fake. He made a Reddit thread as well saying this letter is fake. Okay, definitely you haven't proved that at all whatsoever. And let's look at the reasons. So first thing he says is there was no date on the first letter and there is a date on this letter. One of the big criticisms about the first letter was that it didn't have a fucking date. Do you think Valve might have heard them or the lawyer might have heard them and thought we should definitely put a fucking date on? Right.
Nah, yeah.
I mean, that's like one of the maddest things, right? Like obviously the first letter probably should have had a fucking date on it. Right. Then, and this is genius, this one. He goes to the side, right, where the, you know, you tab in. And he says the space is different. Again, what, right, as somebody that's worked in an office before, mate, it's not exact all the time. You're not printing stuff out from the same printer. It's not typed up by the same person. It's not like just one dude. And even if it was one dude, like sometimes, you know, when you don't push the paper all the way in, it prints out. It's still good to go. Another distance than the first letter, big red arrow. Look, that one was an inch. That one's half an inch. Fake, mate. Yeah, you're not dating. It's not like money, you know, where it has to be uniform and you're fucking looking at it with your fucking monocle screwed in or whatever. This is, it's words on a piece of paper. Might look differently, mightn't it? Just now and then, just a thought. Right? Then they say another signature style to the previous letter.
That makes it more legit to me.
Right? Because, yeah.
Every signature isn't exactly the same.
Exactly. And if you look at it, you know, yeah, it's not perfect or identical. There are some similarities there. Right? So I wouldn't rule that out. Sometimes, and I know this might shock people, but even on legal letters, Sometimes it's not the lawyer who signs them. It's the secretary. And sometimes that person has the proxy to sign. And, you know, they just do the generic signature that they've all sort of agreed on. It's slightly a little bit different each time. So I've seen that. Definitely seen that. And then I don't even understand what this is. Seems no printer's error. Seems like typed in Photoshop or something else. Which is a bit much. A bit much for me. It's going in a bit deep. Then he says, what's this bit? On the first letter, 14 names, then a new column. On the second, only one column. Now, he's missed a trick here, mate. Because what he hasn't noticed is they're all block capitals as well.
Fucking amateur, mate.
Amateur, mate. He's not even good. He's not even good at detecting stuff. Why would they use all block capitals? Why would they do that? Why would they do that? Obviously, it's fake. Nobody uses caps lock on legal letters. I actually think it's illegal. I think in the case of the United States versus a cunt, it was deemed that caps lock was illegal. So nobody would do that, right? But here they are. They have, apparently. And, so this person comments it's fake. Now, there's nothing to suggest that this is fake, in my opinion. The letter does look slightly different. It's still got a valve header, you know. And, yeah, there are some differences. But, again, all that really confirms is that it was sent out in a different wave, you know. So some people denied receiving that letter, and that was a reason to say it was fake. I think it was reported on Fragglider, some Swedish publication, and they were saying, you know, hey, we didn't get it. But then others did. So CSGO Bubble, they put up a tweet, and you can see here yourself, to all our users, we confirm CSGO Bubble has received the original cease and desist letter from Valve, which you can check here, and then they link to it. So this doesn't even prove that it's legit, but it proves that the person that is sending the letter knows how to send it to this particular business, that it was sent out en masse, it wasn't just leaked into the public domain, which is how, I mean, look, if I was just some guy wanting to cause some mischief, I would probably just put it out in the public domain. I don't know if I would go to the trouble of actually sending it on an individual basis to all of these businesses. You know, I would just put it out in the public domain, have a laugh at the front page of Reddit when that comes up, and then just be like, ha, 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 I am fucking, you know, Professor Chaos. Like, you know what I mean? Whatever fucking...
I'd also assume that it's come from a Valve email. If CSGO has confirmed they've received it, isn't that the first thing you checked?
Yeah, CSGO confirmed it. Yeah, exactly, right? So that to me suggests... It's real, you know. Don't get me wrong, this Perry Mason fucker. I admire his work. You know, he's cool. But and then there were some people that even said to me, "Well, we didn't get the letter, and I think it's fake, mate." Now this is interesting. So I was talking to some representatives from CSGObetting.com, and they're not a bet. I know it's going to sound a bit retarded when I say this. They're not a betting website in the way we think about it. So they're not like a roulette site. And they're not like, kind of a skins betting site. They don't use any bots or anything like that. They're a legal and regulated gambling site. It's an affiliate site, basically. So they should never have even been named on the cease and desist letter. Of course, if you're just picking names out at random, you know, CSGO betting does sound like it might be a site worth targeting. But certainly they wouldn't even be affected by anything covered in the cease and desist letter. They reached out to me and said, we think this letter is fake because we don't understand why our business would be targeted if it was. And they said they hadn't received it. But then the other member of the business had said, actually, when the email came through, it went to an old address. And we double-checked, and it was there. So again, it implies that somebody formerly knew where to send this. So they've said, we did receive the second cease and desist letter. It's an oversight on our part. But again, it raises this question. They're not necessarily doing anything that they need to cease and desist, but they've been given a cease and desist letter. So as long as they meet the terms in it, they'll be fine. And overall, there's been this weird, like, it has felt, for want of a better word, a little bit amateurish, you know?
Yeah.
That it's been handled, right? Like, it just feels so weird that these kind of mistakes, like, you have 10 days. 10 days from when? Fuck, there's no date. Okay, right, we've got it right this time. Date on the letter. Yeah, I don't use your bots, though. Fuck! Like, it does feel like there's been a few mistakes. I get, look, and I guess this can happen. But again, if I was Valve and I was paying a lawyer or a law firm to represent my interests, I wouldn't want people to look at a letter and say, that looks like it's got the potential to be false because there's these like little errors in it, you know? Yeah. So that was all strange.
Or even just do it officially, right? Like in some way, let everyone know that this is what we sent out.
Now, obviously CSGO Lotto, and you'll notice there's a couple of stories I've stayed away from in my videos for now. That's mainly because Honor the Call has been doing that, and you know his channel's grown a lot. He was the guy who exposed T. Martin and Syndicate over at CSGO Lotto, exposed them as owners, and found the articles of incorporation where they were named. That was obviously signal boosted by people like H3H3 Productions, PC Gamer, things like this. And he communicated with me, but I was working on E-League, so I came with that story late. And I've just kind of let him run with that story because, you know, he's doing a good job. He's producing lots of things. But there was a kind of tangentially linked story that I think could be important, and you actually came across this one, right?
Yeah.
So give me a summary, Sam. Since you barely talked, if I didn't know better, I'd say you were still hungover, mate.
Maybe. Well, basically, a lawyer in a court in Miami, Florida, actually ruled that Bitcoin isn't money because a case was brought forward that someone was laundering Bitcoins. But when he ruled that it's not money, then you can't launder it. Same as you can't steal it, or you can't. I don't know, what else could you do? Fraud it? You can't defraud Bitcoin. Which directly falls in line with skins, because if Bitcoins aren't money, skins definitely aren't money, if we're going by that logic.
Yeah, and what was crazy about this case was the circuit judge, Teresa Mary Pooler, actually said that Bitcoin was not tangible wealth, and it cannot be hidden under a mattress like cash and gold bars, and added that it isn't backed by any bank or government, therefore it cannot be considered money.
Definitely can be hidden under a mattress, literally on a hard drive. It has happened.
I think you're taking it a bit
far. No. Did you not hear the story of the guy that buried his hard drive and it had millions of dollars worth of bitcoins on it and it got stolen? Or it got destroyed or something? Yeah, that happened.
Didn't hear that.
Did happen.
It happened. And then it also continues in the judgment. The court is not an expert in economics, however. It is very clear, even to someone with limited knowledge in the area, the Bitcoin has a long way to go before it is the equivalent of money. Now, this case specifically was that charges were being brought against a man who was illegally selling Bitcoin. What they'd done, they'd stolen Bitcoin and were then selling it at a reduced rate. And this is like, again, this is like not a huge leap to see what's happening with skins, that people are taking the skins money, or the skins that are potentially worth money, you know, getting them in dishonest ways, either it's through gambling that isn't regulated or gambling that could potentially be ruled illegal, or having a gambling website and rigging the outcomes, taking those skins, basically laundering them through a third-party service like OP Skins, and then keeping the money. Now, according to this court in Florida, which, by the way, that's where T. Martin lives. That's where CSGO Lotto was registered, right?
Yep. I think his is in Orlando and this is Miami, but close enough.
Yeah. So it's actually got the potential as a ruling to have an impact on the whole proceedings, and whether or not this would get cited in a skins case or a case. I think we're a long way off seeing any of this going to court, frankly. I think it'll be years before any of this goes to court. But this is something to think about. This is any argument that a attorney is going to try and make about skins being the equivalent of money now we've actually got legal precedent that virtual currencies, cryptocurrencies, aren't real money. And get fucked if you are the victim of a crime. Now, it's interesting. A lot of tech commentators said this is the right decision. A lot of tech commentators reacted to this case, basically saying the right decision's been made. This is how it has to be. But I don't know. I don't really like any ruling that basically enables people to take digital property and sell it for their own gain, and you have no protections. I you know, that makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable, mate.
Yeah, and this is super easy to swap for money as well. It's like literally is it probably actually yeah, it definitely is easier to swap Bitcoin for money than it is to swap gold for money. It would be harder for me to swap gold bars for money than to get money for my Bitcoins.
Yeah. So crazy story there, one that we definitely wanted to throw in the mix because, you know, maybe some of the lawyers that watch our show, some of the attorneys that watch our show, you know, guys like Bryce, Risen Lazarus, guys like this, Ryan Morrison, maybe they might want to comment on that and you know, clarify it for us. It'd be very interesting to get their thoughts. But I think it's a big deal within within the context of what we're doing here with the skins betting. Next up, Skin Trades, SKNTRADES. Now, we were told that there was going to be some other sites that were coming up with other workarounds. And we didn't know what those workarounds were going to be. So, looks like some sites have come up with the idea of having a workaround. We now see that there is a new service called Skin Trades. And they've forgot the I for some reason. And I don't know why. I don't know if that's like some... There is no I in trade, but whatever.
Steal.
There is no I in theft, but, and I'm not saying these guys are doing anything dishonest, but we'll come to that in a second. Now, this is CSGO Strong and CSGO Cosmos, so I understand they're linked anyway. I believe they've got the same founders, is that correct?
I think so.
I think that's correct. If it's not, I apologize. I'll definitely correct myself. We'll put one of those little floating notes up if I'm wrong. But, well, fuck it. Again, you're better at this, Sam. Explain it, rather than me go full dad mode and be like, if you...
I haven't looked into it a lot, but from what I understand is, so basically they've split it up into two separate businesses. So you deposit in the Skin Trades, which gives you credits, and then you can send the credits to one of the affiliate sites. So basically the two gambling sites aren't directly using bots to take in money, so they're within the terms of service, and the site that's using bots isn't profiting. So they're both within the terms of service, and they're not profiting on using it for gambling. Even though tangentially they are, but it's basically the cheesiest loophole they could have possibly found.
Will it be effective, though, Sam?
I don't think so. If Valve chooses that they don't want it to exist, it's just as easy to stop it. But it's depending on whether Valve are doing this just to be legally backed, just in case, or do they actually are trying to ban everything.
So someone did send us quite a lengthy fucking diatribe about it all. And it was a Twitter user called Snazzy hit me up about this, saying that as far as he's concerned, it's a scam. And he made a Reddit post, which obviously that Reddit post was deleted because it's, you know, against the rules of the subreddit to talk about that sort of stuff. And it was all a bit weird. He said, basically what had happened was they were enticing users by offering giveaways. And again, we got some images that we're just going to bring up while we're talking about this. Basically what he said was that he was getting enticed in, you know, they were enticing users into depositing skins, which gets converted into these points that you use. But then he won a giveaway and tried to be a bit clever, a bit cute, and withdraw the deposit immediately. And when he did, he found that actually the points on the way out don't convert equally to what you put in. So everything has a higher value when you go to withdraw. And he basically, long story short, he was down $120 immediately. So he did do a big Reddit post, which we screenshotted before it got took down, where it's kind of like, you know, the full story. And, you know, we're going to look into this. This might just be one user's bad experience. This might not be the modus operandi of the site. But certainly, this looks like the workaround that CSGO Strong and CSGO Cosmos are going to go with. I agree with you, Sam. I think this is a temporary workaround. They might be looking to try and get some profits in the short term before they disappear, or it could be that they need to do it this way so they can cover the overheads because they can't operate in the traditional way that they used to. I don't really know. But basically, this user was hugely dissatisfied with his experience and wanted to warn other users. And I'd urge, if Skin Trades want to comment on this, they certainly can. We'll give them that platform. All they have to do is contact me. But this does look dubious based on the screenshots I saw. Like, it did look like this guy got cooked.
Yeah, it does seem a bit fishy.
So that's something to think about. My advice to everybody, that while we're still waiting for these chips to fall where we don't know where they're going to go, we don't know how it's all going to work out, we don't know how it's going to turn out in the wash, my advice to you is, if you value your inventory, do not be gambling on any of these sites in the short term. Let's wait and see what happens. Let's wait and see what happens with the regulation, the rulings. Let's see what businesses are doing in terms of workarounds and which ones seem more robust and trustworthy. Because ultimately, this is all about protecting consumers right now. You're the consumer. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. That's pretty much the one rule of thumb in any line of business that you've just got to be mindful of. And obviously, I know a lot of you guys with inventories are young, and you might think that you're kind of super experienced at this, and no one's going to take you for a ride. There'll always be someone, and new businesses with new business models, I'd be highly dubious of them in this particular space at this particular time. So just watch out. We'll do a follow-up piece if there's anything to follow up on. But for now, my advice would be to stay away from Skin Trades, because I think there's something a bit dodgy going on there. I'm not 100% sold that they are legitimate. Right. So what we got up next? Oh, well, this is the big one, right? So a few days ago, our friend Phantom Lord surfaced, Sam.
He did. Finally poked his head out from the war holes.
Now, he put a video on Snapchat and then deleted it approximately 10 minutes after. And it was a video of him wearing mirror shades in a 4x4 road vehicle with his dogs and his girlfriend. And he joked about going to Mexico because of the things he'd done. And then the video shows them driving down a bumpy desert road and the video cuts out. Now, just play the video first, dude.
Here with my dogs. I'm leaving, boys. I'm out. I'm done. I'm going over the border. Oh, see it? Oh, my God.
Right. So, I mean, the thing that really fucking surprised me here, Sam, is, like, people were messaging me going, oh, my God, he's really fled to Mexico. Are we out? What the fuck? Like, do you know what I mean? What, did Santa come down your chimney this year, mate? You know what I mean? Are you fucking? Obviously, he's not going to Mexico. I can't believe it. I can't believe people are that stupid. That they honestly, like, people were literally messaging me going, you've done it, he's fleeing the country. That, for starters, as someone that was out in Nevada for a while, a lot of places look like that in Nevada. It's a desert, you know? Like, deserts look like deserts, right? And, of course, that's where Phantom Lord lives. Second of all, I don't think if you were fleeing the country and by proxy admitting wrongdoing, because obviously the reason you would go to Mexico is because America and Mexican governments don't really do extradition unless it's absolutely vitally important, like drug cartel shit. And even then, we all know what a shit show that is. Mexico is where you go when you're on the run from the crimes you've committed in the United States. So I don't think you'd announce it, because you may as well then just say, yeah, well, yep, we fucking robbed you all, peace. And at that point, it's, you know, not cool, right? So, and I almost admire him for putting this video up. I just thought, what a fucking, the balls. It's just ridiculous. It's insane.
Would have been better if he didn't delete it afterwards.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely would have been better. But on a very serious note, this shows two things. I think we can infer two things from the existence of the video. The first thing is that he's not going to go dark. He is going to try and fight this. And clearly he believes he can wriggle his way out from under it. And second of all, he has an absolute utter contempt for all of the people that may have potentially been scammed by him.
Not a single fuck, myth.
Yeah, not a solitary fuck was given that day. Now, it's interesting, because I've heard a lot of things, you know, since he went to ground about his plans to, you know, fight back and how he might come after me and legal action could come my way. And he's going to deny some of the things because he can prove it, and anyway, it doesn't matter because he might not have broken the law, and like just all this like, wild stuff. I think the bottom line is at this point we know that the Skype logs are absolutely inarguably genuine at this point, undoctored, completely as is, and therefore we can infer all the information contained within is also accurate. And in which case, I don't know where we go from there. I don't really. I'm like, well, I'm intrigued to see what your defense is. So,
other than Dinam,
yeah, exactly. I mean, if you go down that route, I mean, cool, right? But it's going to be incredibly hard to prove, and I don't think anyone involved is necessarily going to be like, yeah, that's cool. So today we had Dingle Derper, obviously the girlfriend of Phantom Lord, also break radio silence. Now, she'd been doing a few little things on Twitter since the story broke, including liking tweets to cyberbullying aspects. It was very clear to me, if you monitored the activity that they had during this period of going dark, they were going to play the victim card. And unsurprisingly, that's what's happened. Now, to be clear, obviously, even if you believe these people have done something wrong, I don't think harassing them online or threatening them online is an appropriate response. But I would also say, if you have done something wrong, you can understand people being angry about it, especially more and more in this day and age where outrage culture exists and it's very easy to express that outrage through social media and whatnot. But she made 10 tweets. I mean, should have probably been put in a tweet longer, but she didn't. And we'll just read three of those. So, hi guys, I'm sorry for being MIA. I've been extremely overwhelmed by the accusations towards me and James. So first up, I've been extremely overwhelmed by the accusations. Well, aren't we sorry for you? Don't know how terrible it must be. I'm sure this is all news to you, of course, and you certainly couldn't have possibly known. And again, let's be clear. This isn't just about rigging outcomes. I mean, this is still a disclosure issue in and of itself, which is inarguable. The Phantom Lord deliberately obscured his ownership for a purpose, even when having business conversations with people about the business. So she says, I'm extremely overwhelmed by the accusations. The emphasis on that word, of course, is that that's all they are at this point. Not. I mean, for me, it would be, I've been extremely overwhelmed about finding out about, you know, what's been going on, you know, but like, no, it's just, they're just accusations. I'll start by saying I was sponsored by CSGO Shuffle on and off for about 2 months total and given skins to bet in brackets. I am truly sorry for not publicly stating that I was playing with sponsored skins from CSGO Shuffle on stream. Well, just to tie these two tweets together, that wasn't really an issue. I don't even think we said that was a problem. Did we? In our videos, you know, like, it is a problem. You have to disclose sponsorships. You have to disclose you're playing with house money. There was so much shit in those logs that it's like just the least of the problems. It's the least problematic thing about what
went on. The rabbit shit from the cow manure. You know what I mean?
Yeah, leave those exactly. Alone. Yeah, just leave those little pellets there. So. That's a very deliberate attempt to shift the narrative. Let's talk about this, because while we're talking about this, we ain't talking about that. You know, think O.J. Simpson trial. Let's make it all about race relations in America and not just a murder case. Let's do that, right? So yeah, I fucked up. I shouldn't have done these things. It's a tiny minor thing. And by obviously owning up to that and taking culpability for it, they think people are going to go, yeah, well, at least you owned up to it. No, there's lots of questions that remain unanswered, even over the course of these 10 tweets. Then she goes, some people are attacking me for working with Patreon a few months back. Patreon was a place for me to get to know my supporters better. It was also my intention to provide extra content for my viewers. I then became overloaded with support and I realized they couldn't hold my end of the deal. I refunded all my patrons on June 22nd, 2016. So again, some people are attacking me for working with Patreon a few months back. We definitely didn't attack you. Obviously, that's clearly referring to us. And I'd like to say thanks for watching our videos, Tori. But we're not attacking you for that. We're saying it is an overwhelming, it is an overwhelming display of greed. If you want to, if you want to get to know your supporters better, I know, maybe just give your supporters free shit. Maybe hang out with your supporters. You know, I do it. It's not hard. It's not like unpleasant. If you care about people that have supported your work, do things to reward that support, engage with them. You don't need to charge them to do it. You don't need to put up a monetary amount. Now, speaking as somebody that had a Patreon, again, my reasons for having a Patreon were very different. It was a way to monetize content, make content worth doing, while we were getting content banned up the wazoo and couldn't grow our channel because we were trying to put content out there that people didn't want out there. So we did. We went that way. And as soon as we got a job where actually, A, I couldn't commit to it time-wise, and B, didn't need the money, we closed the Patreon. And we still put out the content. We put this content out now, and yeah, it's monetized, but pretty much all of that money goes towards keeping salmon cakes and biscuits. So, sound. Self-loathing, of course. So to refund all the patrons on June 22nd, I mean, we talked about it, I think, on the last video when it was open. You know, brilliant. You refunded all the patrons. That also implies to me one thing, Sam. Well, you didn't need the money anyway.
Yeah. True.
Didn't need the money anyway. Maybe someone was feeling a little bit guilty. I don't know. I'm speculating there. But certainly, if you can afford to refund people, the money wasn't critical to your existence. You hadn't spent the money. I wonder why that might be the case. The seventh tweet is, as for the accusations about Phantom, not James, it is not my place to comment before he is able to come forward and set the record straight, implying he's going to come forward and set the record straight. Very interested in hearing what that straight record might sound like. I did and still do struggle a lot with all the threats and continuous harmful comments towards me and James. So what? Just one tweet, by the way, about the accusations towards Phantom and simply saying it's not my place to address them, even though I've come out of being, you know, lying low to talk about it. Back to our problems. We're getting threats and continuous harmful comments. Well, there might be some people out there that think you've took their money, maybe. And maybe they might be upset about that. There might be some people that thought they could trust Phantom Lord and use a gambling site because he endorsed it, and clearly not because he owned it. You know, maybe some people might be angry about that. Maybe there's some parents out there who might be angry. You know, who knows? I can't speak to the motivations. I certainly don't go after people on Twitter. You know, I just, if there's any wrongdoing that needs to be in the public interest, that's what I do. I present it. And I present facts. People can make up their own minds. So I can't speak for them. But I wouldn't be playing the victim ultimately. I think that's an incredibly misjudged route to go down. The people who send me positive messages throughout the day honestly keep me going. I am beyond thankful for you. Yeah, well, we call those people mugs. They're fucking mugs. You're mugging them off, and they're mugs.
They're getting mugged.
Yeah, they're getting fucking bear mugged. That's what's going on there.
In both meanings of the word, double mugged.
And then, and this is one, just again, it's almost Orwellian in the way it's worded. You know, we were never at war with Eurasia. Lastly, I want to apologize and say sorry to all my supporters and mods who have to deal with negativity and backlash from the community. So it's like, hey, and lastly, I want to apologize and say sorry to all my supporters and the mods, not because of anything I did, not because of anything I may or may not have been complicit with, not because of anything Phantom Lord did, but just because of all the negative shit from other people. The backlash from the community. Like, how dare that Richard Lewis present this information in an unbiased and factual manner and make people make up their minds? How dare he? And when people get annoyed about what the findings in those logs were, how dare they voice that? And how dare they ask questions about people that also may or may not be involved? Now, I put tweets out saying, don't harass the mods, okay? That didn't stop mods coming forward and being, oh my, who was that one guy? What was his name?
Oh God, Oliver? I can't remember. The one who wrote the mad twit longer.
Yeah.
I don't know, let's just call him Cucklord.
Yeah, well he fucking...
Cucklord McWhite Knight, the third.
He, he wrote an insane comment on YouTube and then started messaging me and then asked to DM me. And again, it was just insane what he was saying. Like, he accused me of attacking Dingle Derper's sexuality. Like, what the fuck? Like, so just obviously when Phantom Lord gets back from Mexico, you want to watch this guy, by the way. He's got designs, mate. Right? He's got fucking designs. But this guy was going on and on and on and on about how it's wrong to bring Dingle Derper into it. Well, the chat logs definitely show that that isn't the case. She handled certain business elements of the website.
Sold she skins from her OP skins account.
Yeah. So this, there is a question there that has to be answered. And that's what we want to do. We want to answer questions. We want the facts to be out there in the public domain. That's the whole point. So absolutely fucking ridiculous. And that guy, he's out of his mind. He's not well. He's not well. You should literally not allow him to be a mod anymore. He needs a break. So I couldn't believe it, mate. What's your take on this?
What, on these tweets?
Yeah.
It's obvious. It's like the most obvious, like, lawyer jargon trying to change the court of opinion. But tell you what, if you wanted to change the court of opinion, you should have got a better lawyer, because he would have told you you need to do it early. You need to get the digs in early if you want to beat the court of public opinion. You're too deep in the streets now.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, again, how is anyone thinking, like listening to this, going, yeah, I guess how tough it is. Like, we've seen the fucking Snapchat. We've seen all the places that you've gone to with all this money. We've seen all the exorbitant restaurants you've eaten in. We've seen the sports cars that you're purchasing. You know, we know that you moved to Vegas to get better tax breaks. We know all this. We know all this from logs and information. And from your own, and information you've willingly put out there in some cases. How would anyone sympathize at this juncture? Like, it would have to be a hell of a nasty tweet for me to be like, yeah, this has gone too far. Poor Dingle Derper and James. Poor them. Unbelievable, isn't it? These people. So anyway, I'm intrigued, because like I say, I want to see what James is going to say. I want to see what the big response is going to be. I want to see how you can set this straight, because I don't think you can deny it at this point. There's no way. It's all over everywhere. You've been banned from Twitch. You've been exposed doing secondary, dishonest practices like the fake subs. So where do you go from here? And equally as well, while we're bringing up mods and other people, just as a note, because they're obviously monitoring all of this, other people have come forward as well and talked about stuff that paints a very clear picture about what Phantom Lord's, you know, kind of motivations were. There's so much stuff that, you know, it's not in the public domain yet because it doesn't need to be there, but it probably will get there. So anybody that's going to come out and try and lie and say, well, I didn't know about this, again, think long and hard, because there's people that can disprove that, and there's people who will disprove that. Not everyone wants to go down with the Titanic, you know? So anyway, so it's been an interesting first day in the aftermath of E-League to just get straight back into the gambling nonsense. We'll probably end the video there. As always, thanks for listening. We've got more videos coming. The Vulcan video is definitely coming. We've got some other stuff coming. We've been following all of this gambling stuff. And we're going to dip back into the UK scene and expose just why the UK scene is crumbling, because it's filled with idiots, liars, and thieves, as per usual. So any final thoughts, Sam?
Rest in peace, EZE.
Rest in peace, EZE.